This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
In light of what's happening around the world, in light of what's happening in our individual lives, in light of what's happening across this country and across university campuses and in many other places around the world, it is important always for us to take a step back. As tension rises, as reactions are witnessed, as brutality increases, as trials of ease and of difficulty take different forms in people's lives, many of them students and faculty, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward those who are doing good work. And it's important for us always to look at also where things are headed and what we need to be prepared for, especially from a religious and spiritual perspective, but also from a community perspective. One of the most interesting ways to do this, and one of the most effective, is to pay a little more attention when we recite the Qur'an and listen to it for the traits of the believers. What is it that kept them firm when things got really difficult? How did they weather the storm? And also the traits of hypocrites, the traits of cowards, the traits of disbelievers, people who receive signs, evidences, messages of truth, they ignore, they reject, and in fact many of them start to oppose those messages. Whether it's a message that a genocide, an evidence that a genocide is happening, or it's literally the message of truth. And one way to do this is to look at the traits of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, from the Islamic perspective, is of two types, generally speaking. Just for the sake of benefit, there's the hypocrisy of action, النفاق العملي, and there's the hypocrisy of beliefs, النفاق الاعتقادي, which is the major one. As for the major one, it means that there's somebody of evil, they are not really believers, but they've infiltrated a community trying to create divisions, problems, whatever it is they're trying to do. And oftentimes in Medina, you find the stories of the hypocrites. Referenced in the Quran, it's usually in Medina because that's where now they had a benefit externally to acting like they were Muslims, and they had plans and strategies. They tried to assassinate the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims a number of times. They created problems for the Muslims with their allies. They were the reason some of the tribes that violated their treaties with the Prophet ﷺ in the constitution of Medina, Dustur al-Medina, they were the reason those people felt like there was additional support on the inside. They were people who were informants. They were people who spied on Muslims. They were people who whispered. They were the people who mocked. They ridiculed. But ultimately, they were planning and plotting. When we look at this type, we find that it is the most referenced type in the Quran. In fact, this is the primary aspect of hypocrisy mentioned in the Quran. As for the other type, it is more important for us to pay attention to on a daily basis. The hypocrisy of actions. The actions that the Muslim should stay away from. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, مِنْ عَلَمَاتِ الْمُنَافِقِ, from the signs of the hypocrite, ثَلَاثَ, in another report, four, three or four, وَإِنْ صَامَ وَصَلَّ وَزَعْمَ أَنَّهُ مُسْلِمِ. Even if this person were to fast and to pray and to swear that they are Muslim, these were the people again who had infiltrated, but there are signs you could tell they're not really Muslim. Every time they speak, either حدث كذب. When they speak, they are usually lying. They lie and they lie and they lie and they lie. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. When they make promises, they break their promises all the time. They're known for it. They're not trustworthy. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. When they're entrusted with something, some kind of thing, an object, money, whatever it may be, they usually will betray that trust. There's another narration that adds one more. وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرَ. When they argue, when they dispute, they are very transgressive. They cross a lot of lines. They are not just going back and forth. They cross a lot of lines. They don't understand, one for one, proportionate response. No, there's none of that. You said this, they went to a whole nother level of disgust, a pathetic low that nobody would imagine. But this is one of the signs of the munafiq. Now, when we see that these are not limited to non-Muslims, to a person who is not actually Muslim infiltrating the community in Medina or anywhere else even today, we find that we have to be cautious not to fall into these traits. That when you speak, you are always speaking according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O you who believe, be mindful of your Lord. Know that He is watching and be amongst those who always tell the truth. So look at the traits of hypocrisy only to protect yourself and your heart and your afterlife. That when you make promises, whether you are old or young, a father, a mother, doesn't matter. When you make promises, you always fulfill those promises. That when you are entrusted with something, a secret or information or an object, whatever it may be, that you are fulfilling that trust. And if there's a dispute, that you do not cross lines, that you think before you speak and you recognize your Lord is watching. Why are we mentioning this? Of all the verses of the Quran, one of the most interesting parallels we find between the Munafiqeen and many of the Zionists of the world that we are in today is in one particular verse in Surah Al-Munafiqun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this singular verse mentioned not one or two or three or four, but eight characteristics of the Munafiqeen. And we find that there's a benefit to study these, not just to refrain, but also to be more cautious and prepared. And this is the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجِسَامُهُمْ. The first trait, when you see the hypocrites of Medina, when you see the Munafiqeen, you're impressed by their bodies. What does this mean? Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that one of the Munafiqeen, Abdullah bin Ubay, he was very strongly built. He was a very handsome man. He was very healthy. Remember, not everyone had access to food and not everyone was nourished properly. And he was a very eloquent person. And he says, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that was the case for many of his friends as well. Many of the elites, the politicians who had all this power and status, and they refused to accept Islam because they didn't want everyone to be equal. They didn't want to accept the truth. Can you silence your phones? Barakallahu feekum. So this was interesting. Why? Because Abdullah bin Abbas, he says this was the case for the nobles of Medina. And this is a good starting point. That sometimes people are deceived by looks. This person has status. This person looks good. In fact, there are many psychological studies that have found there's such thing as the beauty factor, that when someone is handsome or beautiful, they may be given a little more trust, even though they may also equally be lying and deceptive. This is not the case for everyone, of course. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجِسَامُهُمْ. You see physically something superficial, don't assume that that is an equivalent metric to truth, to goodness, or to justice. Again, it doesn't work both ways. Don't assume that everyone who is also this way, that is deceptive. But the second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says right after this, وَإِن يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. When they talk, you listen to their speech. Why? They are very eloquent. They might have degrees. They might be educated because they had the wealth. Again, these are the nobles of Medina. So when they talk, people would listen. And when they spoke, they were very eloquent. And because of their eloquence, sometimes they deceive people and people were convinced by what they were saying of lies. So it was not weird, unusual back then, nor is it unusual today, that some of the cowards or hypocrites or people of evil in the world, they may be extremely eloquent and powerful in how they write, in how they speak, in how they mobilize other people, in their influence in media. They may be trained at times also to deliver messages a specific way. They may have authoritative power, political power, connections of some sort, economic power, massive following, influence, and so on and so forth. Do not let that be your measuring stick. Do not allow the measuring stick of truth be deceived or distorted by the education, the degrees, the credentials, the wealth, the political connections of people, regardless of what they show on the outside. We measure things according to truth. And the truth is as defined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this hard to do at times? Yes. It is a fitna. It is a trial. It is a tribulation. It's one of many. So do not be fooled by appearances in this world. Do not be fooled by people who are all over social media or they are on different news channels and platforms spreading propaganda of evil, twisting the narratives, changing the world's perspective on who the oppressor is and who is the oppressed. This is the reality of the world that we are in. A college student, a high school student, already knows at that age that a sentence that is very short could be extended out into an entire essay and it doesn't really mean much. And the professor or the one who is grading, who really understands, looks through and says, actually, there's no content here. It's all fluff. They understand when you are extending things out and adding more words and more pages. And so this is a clumsy analogy to the reality that sometimes people will deceive. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and our communities. The second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, or the third thing technically, كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدَ. They speak, they're eloquent. You look at them, they may be handsome, they have nice clothes, they have brand names, whatever it may be. كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدَ. This is an insult, but also a fact, a reality. They are like worthless planks of wood leaning against the wall. What does that mean? There's no moral benefit in these cowards. There's no benefit you're going to get in your afterlife from listening to them, no matter how eloquent they are. Why is it mentioned that they are leaning back? Because they would sit in their gatherings, and when the Muslims would sit close to the Prophet ﷺ to listen, not because of medical reasons, the elite, these munafiqeen, would be sitting on their nice, fancy couches and so on and so forth, ignoring the gathering of the Prophet ﷺ, and they would oftentimes look down on the Muslims and the Sahaba, but this is their reality. They are worthless. They don't actually have value. They assume they do. In fact, the believer, no matter how weak they are in their faith, or how many sins they've committed, they're trying to stop from. In general, وَفِي كُلِّ خَيْرٍ. The Prophet ﷺ talks about the strong believer and the weak believer, and the strong is more beloved to Allah, so seek that strength. وَفِي كُلِّ خَيْرٍ. But there's good in all believers. As for the munafiqeen, they are worthless. They have no value. يَحْسَبُونَ كُلَّ صَيْحَةٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. The next characteristic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the hypocrites assume, literal translation would be like every shout, every accusation, every noise, it's about them. Someone's attacking them, someone's exposed them, they have a guilty conscience. You know when someone commits a lot of crimes and they're always getting away with it, and then they start to live on edge, they're looking over their shoulders. Anytime someone talks about a topic that they know they're guilty of, what do? They start to gaslight. They start to insult. They start to twist the narrative in the story. So you saw the IDF soldiers and the politicians of all levels, there is no exception, of all levels of their corrupt government and their occupation. You saw them insulting and saying things about accusations of rape and sexual assault, the beheadings of babies. We heard 101 lies at that time. And those who knew, they already knew. But what happens when you start to see the reality on the ground for those who did not know what was happening for 75 years? You start to see that in fact, it's as though every accusation, it's actually something they are guilty of. They're talking about being a victim. They're talking about killing children. They've killed over 15,000 children. And that's just in the last 6 months. What about the last 75 years? The number of cases of sexual assault and rape, and I apologize for being very explicit, but this is the reality on the ground. So when the world starts to focus on their crimes, what do? They start to have more fear. They are intimidated by the reality that the world that is witnessing this and the many students on campuses, that they are not intimidated, that they are aware of who really is the oppressor, that they are aware of your crimes you cannot deny. The hundreds of human rights lawyers and organizations and politicians even over there who've admitted to things that nobody would admit and get away with. The reality of this situation is that any noise, any accusation frightens them. So what do? Because they are backed into a corner, they start to do the most ridiculous and bizarre things as a reaction at every political level possible. So they are trying to pass a bill which now partially passed in the United States, the anti-Semitism bill, that has for the first time in American history taken the concept of free speech when it comes to political parties and entities and says you cannot even criticize that. And yes, they are trying to act like, no, there's an exception. There is no exception. According to this new bill that is being passed, 6090, this new bill would therefore define the entirety of the Bible, the New Testament for Christians, as anti-Semitic because of a number of verses in the Bible that talk about Jews who had killed the prophets, they said. And in one of the verses, in chapter 2, verse 14, speaks about the Jews who had killed the prophet and killed Lord Jesus. And this is according to the New Testament, according to that new definition. The entirety of the Bible is now anti-Semitic. All the students on campuses who say no more genocide, now they are anti-Semitic. Everyone who wears anything at all that resembles Palestinian culture or justice or resistance to evil is now anti-Semitic. Anyone who says we don't want our politicians funded by foreign entities and foreign interests is now anti-Semitic. By definition, they have turned the entire world, except for a few, they have turned everyone into an anti-Semitic person. And so by definition, they are, as many Jewish scholars and activists and others have stated, they are causing more actual anti-Semitism in the world than anyone else. And the reality for us as Muslims, when we see this trait mentioned in the Quran, we recognize, number one, the munafiqeen are so guilty because they know who they really are. They know they are not really Muslim. They know they're infiltrating. They know they're causing problems. They know they're trying to divide. They are paranoid. When the paranoid person is exposed, they start to do disgusting things. Like the students who showed up at UCLA and they started to physically assault the students who were literally having a peaceful encampment with no issues whatsoever. They dragged an old lady and said, "Even you, old lady," insulting somebody who is 3-4 times their age. And the reality of these people is that when they are paranoid and backed into a corner, they will start to do more ridiculous things, violate more rights. And as American Muslims, we have to be very conscious of that. We have to be very aware of that. We also have to be very active and engage in our own system to ensure that our voices are being heard in different ways. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of those who are seeking universal justice and peace all around the world. Allahumma ameen. The next characteristic Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the munafiqeen, humul adu. They are the enemy. Lest you forget that sometimes the hidden enemy is more dangerous to you than the exposed one. They are the enemy. And oftentimes, of the worst of people in this ummah are those who hide their realities. If they can hide their realities from the Sahaba, and some of them in the beginning hid their realities from the Prophet ﷺ before he was given that information, what about their effects on the rest of mankind? What about their effects on communities when they try to create divisions? They try to take down activists, scholars, Islamic centers, Islamic organizations. What a lot of Muslims don't know, but is extremely important, is that every single one of us and every Muslim, all 2 billion around the world, are affected by the propagation of Islamophobia. And there have been countless studies, publications, investigative journalism from people of all backgrounds, not just Muslims, that found that Islamophobia is primarily funded in the hundreds of millions of dollars by people who are also pro-Zionist. The very same people who are supporting the occupation are the people making the world think that you and I are terrorists, are the people trying to damage the image of Islam, are the people trying to create divisions and doubts in Muslims, old and young. There is a link between the two. So the rise of Zionism is also the rise of Islamophobia. It is the rise of anti-Semitism. It is the rise of injustice and divisions. It is the rise of hijacking American politicians when the majority of people are saying, "We don't want genocide." Humul adu. Be very aware. The reality of your rights, your existence, if they don't care about killing 35 innocent people, 35,000 innocent people there and 75 years of occupation, when the entire world is a witness, who says they care about your rights over here? Your rights at your workplace, your rights anywhere else in the world. Be very conscious of this reality because they are not hiding it. فَحْذَرْهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, beware of them. The context once again is the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. You cannot deny the parallels between the two. When Allah says فَحْذَرْهُمْ, beware of them, there's a type of tarbiyah given to us here from our Lord. He doesn't say, after all these traits, they have power, they have wealth, they're handsome, eloquent. He doesn't say, you know, be afraid of them, خَافُوهُمْ. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, beware of them. Don't be deceived by them. Know what they are doing. Be very conscious when someone is telling you they're trying to take away your rights, kill your family members, commit genocide, steal everything you have of rights and resources in this very country where many Americans are suffering as it is. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, beware of them. Don't be afraid. Beware of them. Sometimes, as many students have expressed, and many people of different backgrounds, when they see something that seems mountainous, when it seems just monumental, how do you deal with this huge issue or this great enemy, let's say, an enemy who is trying to kill innocent people? The munafiqeen were trying to kill the Muslims, for example. How do you deal with something like this? You look at their military might. You look at all the money that they have. You look at all the connections, politically speaking, that they may have, especially in Medina. And you find what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say, fear them. No, He says, فَحْذَرْهُمْ. Beware of them. Be vigilant. Be very wise. Don't let down your guard. You know, the believer is not supposed to be stung twice from the same source. What about now 75 years of being stung? What about now 75 years of being hurt? How many more times, how many more deaths, how much more genocide, how much more killing does it take for those who keep dropping their guards to finally say, I'm going to be vigilant? It doesn't matter what a normalization looks like at a political level between other countries. There's an obvious agenda for that, and it's not for the sake of Muslims. It's not for the sake of Islam. It's not for the sake of Palestinians. No, there are agendas that have nothing to do with our rights as Muslims. And so we look at this situation, we say we have to be cautious. Have no fear. The only fear that we have is transgressing against the boundaries of Allah. Have no fear. فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ In another verse about the devils, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Do not fear them, but fear me, meaning have fear of my power. Don't compromise your faith, your principles, your Islam, your dignity, your pursuit of justice. Don't compromise what is good because you're afraid of what is evil. For there is nothing that is greater for you and nothing in terms of support and power to protect you than the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why when we say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, we really need to be mindful in our hearts and in our minds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. And then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ Two things technically here. قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ literally translated as, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kill them, but what it actually means, or Allah has killed them, what it actually means, may Allah curse them, condemn them. Allah has already condemned them. This is not a type of la'na in a way, but also a verdict of where they're going to end up. That Allah is aware these particular people, again, very specific context, they are not turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the Arabic language, this is an expression to indicate the anger of Allah, to indicate where these people are heading. Anna yu'fakun, how can they be so deluded? The truth is so clear. The evidence is so clear. How can you be so deluded unless truth is not your priority, but rather something else? And this is the case for many university administrators, presidents, regents, and others. This is the case for many politicians, especially in the United States of America, where Zionism is intertwined with Christian Zionism, with evangelical Christians, with the general federal body, with the state level. That Zionism is one of the reasons that so many politicians are able to get to the places they are at in both political parties. So when you see this reality, you say, how are these people ignoring genocide? Now you know why they're ignoring genocide. Because their concern is not truth and justice. It's not peace. It's not equity for all people, Muslims and Jews and others. No, they have career ambitions. They have political connections. As one politician explicitly said, if we were to take any other stance, it would be political suicide. I would lose my position, my career, my ambitions. So you're willing to resign your moral integrity rather than resign your position for the pursuit of what is true. And the reality of the majority of people in this country is that they are advocating for justice. So, anna yu'fakun, sometimes people are deluded because of their pride and arrogance, and sometimes because of the influence of those who are around them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from both. May Allah grant us clarity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us on a personal level to always pursue that which is pleasing to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us wisdom in how do we advocate for the truth and for justice for our brothers and sisters in Palestine and all around the world. And may Allah forgive us for all of our shortcomings. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran on numerous occasions, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ In one verse, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا أَوْ كَذَّبَ بِالْحَقِّ لَمَّا جَاءَ In another verse, أَوْ كَذَّبَ بِآيَاتِهِ And then you have, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا Who is more wrong, oppressive, than the one who prevents Allah's name from being mentioned in his places of worship and they strive to destroy it. You look at what Masjid al-Aqsa has gone through historically and you find that for us as Muslims, this is one of the incentives to defend our brothers and sisters in Palestine. That it's not just a matter that is humanitarian. It's not just a matter that is also political and intertwined with our situations. It's not also because there's a genocide. There's a religious component that drives us. Those who are striving and they've been destroying houses of worship in different ways, directly or indirectly. And those who occupy Masjid al-Aqsa, they are the very same people who don't want Muslims in these houses of worship. They are the very same people who fund Islamophobia around the world. And they work with other governments to repress Muslims in different ways. And that includes in India, where there's actually a very strong tie to what's happening to Muslims in Palestine. They are benefiting from that training. They are benefiting from that politics. They are benefiting from oppressing, ethnically cleansing in a different way, but still happening. And this is the case in a lot of other places too. So as we live in a country where now we are able to worship and we are able to attend Salat al-Jum'ah, we can attend the five prayers, and that is one of the greatest things we can do as a show of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recognize that there are people, and they are intertwined with the Zionists who are attacking and occupying Palestine, who do not want Muslims and do not want masajid in this world. And if there are to be Muslims in this world, they want Muslims on their terms. Those who are token Muslims. Those who have given up their pursuit of truth. Those who compromise on their principles. Those who say, yes, there's no problem with your occupation. That's the kind of Muslim they want. Just like the liberals or atheists who want people on their terms. A shell of a Muslim. Not a Muslim who has all of their principles intact. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to always do that which is right. Don't give up and don't burn out. As you're making dua, not just for our brothers and sisters in Palestine and many other countries around the world. You make dua for those who are seeking justice, those who are working hard, the many students who are putting themselves in very difficult situations. May Allah guide them to the wisdom that they need in every situation to do what's right. The faculty members, the university faculty who are standing with their students as well, as they are literally being dragged and tased and assaulted and arrested. Keep making dua. Keep supporting those who need support. Reach out to the different students in different campuses and ask locally, how can we help? All the way from Ann Arbor to Wayne State soon and other places as well. Ask how you can support. And on a personal level, continue advocating politically through all means possible and engaging and learning and staying aware. And of course, yes, boycotting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding even if you did not take down a corporation. The point is not that there are billions of dollars. The point is, are you cutting off access to it? Are you willing to sacrifice something small for something great later on? How do we prepare for weathering the storm? We always go back to our faith. We reconnect with the Quran. We connect with the masajid, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we stay active. We keep praying. We keep coming to the jama'at with our families and our children, that we show up when there is a need for the community to show up, and ultimately perseverance through dua. Perseverance through dua, perseverance through dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the affairs of our brothers and sisters in every land and every place and forgive us for all of our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring down His relief and His swift justice and allow us to see signs and miracles affecting those who are oppressing the believers all around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and guide others through us.